Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of TMT Talk, Baker McKenzie's global TMT podcast designed to help clients navigate and prioritize risks via insights from our top legal advisors in strategic technology markets. As you know, my name is Teresa Michaud, and I'm a partner in the disputes team for Baker, based out of Los Angeles and Silicon Valley. I lead our North American class action practice, and I'm on our steering committee for the Global Technology, Media, and Telecom Industry Group, leading the interactive entertainment, or as we like to call it, interactive engagement sector. As many of you know, the metaverse concept has been dominating headlines in the recent years and has started to create opportunities for companies to scale and diversify their businesses. As it continues to evolve, the legal landscape around it has also become increasingly complex. And with that in mind, we have invited our experts to give their perspective on this key trend. And of course, the metaverse and other key issues relevant to the interactive engagement sector are discussed in Report 3 of this year's edition of our Looking Ahead series, which you can find on our website or in the email containing this podcast episode. So I'm very excited to introduce our speakers today. First, Ashlyn Paramal, who's a partner in our Johannesburg office, specializes in technology-driven M&A and the corporate, commercial, and transactional aspects of intellectual property. And also with us this morning is Francis Donna, who's a partner in our Paris office, where he advises on public law, European law, information technology and media law, large contracts, public corporate law, and environmental law. Obviously, these intros don't necessarily cover everything that my partners advise on, especially with respect to the metaverse. We're so happy to have you both with us. Welcome to both of you. So, Ashlyn, our audience for this podcast certainly understands that when we're talking about metaverse or metaverses, or just convergence of technology in general, we're not talking about a hypothetical 3D virtual world or augmented reality just reserved for gamers and those who wear kind of smart eyewear. What we're really talking about is kind of augmented physical reality in a physically persistent virtual space. I think of you as a true expert in this field. We know you've written many articles for clients and for attorneys in Baker about the metaverse. So we can't obviously cover the entire topic of the metaverse today in our short session, but I'm hoping you can tell us, why is the topic of the metaverse appearing now? And what's been occurring to make this such a hot topic in the last year or so?
Thank you, Teresa. And that's a very interesting question. The term metaverse was largely unheard of until 2021. But if you run an analytics search, for example, on the usage of the term, the graph is basically flat up until October of last year. Now, that is a bit odd, as the term was actually coined, as much of us already know by now, 30 years ago, by the science fiction novelist Neal Stephenson in his novel Snow Crash. What happened in October 2021 was the rebranding of Facebook into Meta, with Mark Zuckerberg pivoting the social media giant into a metaverse company. Now, in a case of reality mimicking art, we can use Neal Stephenson's book to conceptualize what a metaverse may look like. A simulated virtual environment that can be experienced using, for example, VR or AR technologies, but not limited to that, with the potential for social, transactional, and entertainment interactions, amongst others. What is clear is that, much like the internet, this is a concept that involves a vast array of technologies coinciding and being made interoperable with one another to create a unified set of experiences. And no one company can therefore legitimately claim to own or be the creator of the metaverse, and realistically, none are. Rather, each of the underlying technologies, such as hardware solutions in VR and AR peripherals, or software developments in, for example, the Web3 architecture for digital asset economies, these independent trends have been on their own developmental journey up until now. And what appears to be happening is that many of these individual tech trends are now working towards a convergence point. And we now have this unified term, this unified branding term for that convergence being a metaverse. Now, such technology convergences have occurred in the past. In fact, much of the solutions we take for granted today come from the convergence of communications, computing, and content, which took place in the 1980s. During this period, we saw incredible advances in these technologies, and by the late 2000s, these notions became almost inseparable when considering business and product strategies. Right now, a similar convergence may be taking place. But then to your question, Teresa, so then why now? What's happened that's made this really important right now? I believe the answer to this question is along three major vectors. The first being technology, the second being commerce, and the third being culture. In technology, the last decade has seen huge breakthroughs in many areas. There is the 5G bandwidth explosion, the maturing of cloud computing and lean client solutions, impressive improvements in VR and AR solutions, but also increased capabilities of mobile devices and mobile computation. The technology may be finally catching up, at least in some way, to the cipher predictions in Stevenson's novels, even if still nascent. Now, in the second vector, that being commerce, the emergence of blockchain technology has created the potential for digitally computable economies. Up until now, all you could do over the internet was communicate information, with the transacting of value happening in separate centralized banking systems. This has significantly changed in the last 7 or 8 years, with the emergence of crypto assets, so-called stablecoins, and other digital currencies, which include the communication of information and value in single packets. Now, this is furthermore enhanced by the fact that even though early social online virtual games like Second Life touched on the potential for digital asset ownership, this was still built around centrally controlled software and end-user license agreements. Now, with the concept of NFTs emerging, that's non-fungible tokens, the potential for ownership of digital assets independently of third parties is possible in current iterations. Now, finally, the last and arguably most important vector is culture. We are seeing the maturation of the digital native generation, those born after the internet went mainstream. And with this movement, gaming culture has moved to the center of youth culture, with a growing appetite for social experiences within virtual environments. And this was accelerated by the need for such forms of interaction with the COVID-19 pandemic, which made many of us far more comfortable with these spaces than before. Other cultural movements worth noting is the deep desire for greater ownership of digital assets and data, alongside the explosion of user-generated content surpassing that of studios and production houses. These three shifts, technology, digital commerce, and culture, are all reaching a critical mass where adoption of a metaverse-like environment seems possible and marketable. Although right now we're seeing mostly early shoots of these in the interactive media environment, again, a nod to the digital native generation being the most ready for adoption, many believe it will expand beyond this into other spaces into the future.
Well, thank you very much, Ashlyn. That is a great overview for everyone. And I like how you've broken it down into the three pillars of technology, digital commerce, and culture. I think that is a great way to guide us as we look at opportunities that are available to clients in this space, and then also, you know, potentially legal risks, because as you mentioned, you know, we are at a point which is very similar to when, the internet did become mainstream, and we're looking at laws and regulations that might affect how people interact with it and how commerce might be transacted through the metaverse. So certainly there are a lot of potential changes that we should expect. And Francis, that leads me to ask you, you know, from your perspective, what legal aspects of the metaverses are relevant right now? I mean, certainly we are about to see a lot of change, I think, and also reinterpretation of existing laws. How should all of these things be navigated by new entrants and adopters of the metaverse?
Thank you, Teresa. As you said, it's just like when the internet did become a mainstream. There are as many legal issues to consider as there are areas of law. However, there are some priority areas for new entrants and adopters of the metaverse. The first, where we are seeing a lot of client activity, is intellectual property. Metaverse spaces are obviously very attractive platforms for brand activations. These may include consumer goods and retail brands, interactive media and gaming brands or others. However, what has become clear is that these organizations will need a new framework and strategy for IP clearance and the protection of their IP in these environments. Take NFT activations, for instance. Well, still suffer from a lack of market clarity on ownership of digital tokens and their underlying rights, with the idea of NFTs as real property, like real estate, gaining traction. The reality is that this is far from correct. There are various copyright issues that arise if proper IP clearance is not done when conducting an NFT marketing campaign, which include inadequate license rights from creators or agency firms. Further, it's not always clear what IP dispute resolution or takedown mechanisms will exist, particularly in decentralized protocols. All in all, a careful IP protection strategy is needed by any new entrant into a metaverse space. Another primary legal issue is the application of privacy laws, such as the European GDPR, to metaverses. There is the potential for metaverses to generate immense amounts of personal data, particularly when we acknowledge that many laws define personal data in a very broad way, as basically any data that can identify, even indirectly, a person. Without being able to go into detail here, there are many issues related to the application of the European GDPR to metaverses. All the rights guaranteed within the European Union by the GDPR must also be guaranteed in the metaverses. To take only a few examples, first, the issue of consent to data processing is essential. Users of metaverses must be able to give their consent in an informed manner. The prohibition on processing so-called sensitive data, with some exceptions, must also apply in the metaverses. This is an essential principle of the GDPR and one that European regulators will be very careful about. The same applies to the right to erasure or to the right to object to profiling. And last but not least, one of the most difficult issues is the transfer of such data outside the European Union. In the real world as well as in the metaverses, this is an important question and one that is not easy to answer, as the case law of the Court of Justice of the European Union on this matter is really demanding. An area that is unfortunately gaining attention is content regulation. Online gaming platforms that have pivoted as metaverses have seen some unfortunate incidents of strip clubs and other virtual adult content appearing on their platforms. Now, many of these platforms are designed to be used by children, so this begs the question as to what new forms of content regulation and age gating is needed for virtual spaces. A closely related issue is the potential for harassment and sexual crimes. In December 2021, an incident of digital sexual harassment in a metaverse was reported, and it exposed a very real risk in virtual 3D spaces where one is represented by a virtual avatar capable of physical interactions with other avatars. business will need to think about how to create and enforce safe spaces in line with the legal requirements of real-world spaces, which include creating safety mechanisms and evidence recorder of such incidents. If I may add, culturally, education is also needed about inappropriate behavior in these spaces, particularly as mass adoption increases. Lastly, there are financial regulatory laws that must be considered into metaverses. Much of this inherits the issues of the Web3 crypto world, namely the potential of digital economies to be abused for money laundering and financing of illicit activities. There is also the risk of value theft and cyber crimes, which we have already seen on several NFT exchanges. Where metaverse economies reach scaled adoption, there is also the risk they pose to financial stability, where a greater amount of fiat currencies pour into digital tokens, which operate on a different set of rules. Aspects such as consumer protection and SEC financial regulation become more and more relevant as such scale is reached.
Great. Thank you, Francis. That, you know, certainly raises a lot of interesting risks and hopefully some opportunities for our clients as they are, you know, navigating and entering this space. So Ashlyn, coming back to you, what are the legal costs versus benefits as mainstream content enters metaverse environments? I mean, how should businesses go about enhancing opportunities while still minimizing their risks in this space?
Thanks, Teresa. That's a really important and prescient question at the moment. There are indeed vast opportunities that exist in the gold rush to acquire space in metaverses. Much like how domain names on the internet were once a trivial topic and are now considered very valuable sources of IP, in the same way, a three-dimensional plot in a metaverse gallery mall, for example, could be valuable real estate for a brand or fashion house in the future. The benefit now is in the first mover advantage, but this likewise comes with the earlier adopter risks. Now, as mentioned, mainstream content, particularly IP in such content, and the license and production regimes built around such IP, these are built on very well-established market norms. Now, metaverses challenge some of these. For example, content that is minted into an NFT may also incorporate a smart contract for the payment of perpetual royalties to a creator, which may be at odds with the commercial market standard creator agreements that are in place. Another legal cost is the current metaverse's blend of centrally controlled solutions and decentralized protocols into their technology stacks. Now, this brings the risk of a lack of accountability when it comes to those decentralized protocols, where there is no central service provider to hold accountable in the case of a harm, for example, a data breach. Now, regulators, as they develop laws around this, are likely to focus on the on-ramps and off-ramps into such decentralized environments to place the burden of regulation on the centralized platforms. And they've already started doing so in the crypto spaces with the regulation and focus on crypto exchanges as opposed to participants, for example. Now, where mainstream companies choose to adopt or do marketing activations into these technology spaces, adequate audits should be made as to their exposure to decentralized environments and whether they may end up becoming such an on-ramps for the regulator to regulate. Now, the best way, in short, because we don't have time to go through all of the costs and benefits, is to work with experienced consultants, whether they be legal, technical, or others, who have the know-how at a fundamental level in these environments and who are able to develop proactive strategies for minimizing risk. In the legal space, it means involving lawyers with good technical competencies who can properly map legal risks into these environments and produce counter strategies, controls, policies, or even agreements towards minimizing these. Now, I'm proud to say that we have many such experienced professionals at Baker McKenzie who have been working with clients at the core of these metaverse trend topics and who are doing just that, basically. So I think, in short, when it comes to minimizing risks, it really comes down to using advisors who are able to map those risks and develop counter strategies with you.
Great. Thank you. I think you certainly just set yourself up for many more of these podcast episodes with me, Ashlyn, raising some of these points that are going to become very important for our clients. And, we really appreciate both you and Francis joining us today to give us the overview. I think that, for our audience, certainly turn to report 3 that I mentioned at the top of the podcast from our Looking Ahead series. And hopefully we will see Ashlyn and Francis on some upcoming episodes of the podcast to dive even deeper into these risks and opportunities that we've touched on briefly today. So with that, thank you all. And we hope to see you on another podcast episode.